This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is the 22nd of September, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in with the news today, including the search for positive news to push the grain markets higher, and tariffs are being discussed in D.C. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin includes unstable conditions leading to rain chances this week, and the Friday corn, bean, and wheat markets mixed but mostly lower after a positive start. Brian Basting has insights on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Congress and the courts discussing tariffs and the grain markets trading sideways. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News. A lack of fresh news, either positive or negative, is causing the grain markets to trade in a sideways pattern here over the past several weeks. CJ Miller reports how that may change as harvest really gets into full gear.
I don't want to say we're beating a dead horse, but everybody is questioning the national yield, but are you going to do that every day?
That's Tom Fritz with EFG Group in Chicago. USDA first said we'd see record yields for both corn and soybeans back on August 12th. They made little change to those yield projections on September 12th.
Nobody believes the national yield is as high as the USDA says, but like I said, you can't use that as an excuse every single day.
Fritz says the lack of any fresh news is causing the grain markets to spin its wheels.
I think it's old news that U.S. corn is competitive to Brazil. In fact, it's cheaper than Brazil, given the break in the dollar and the rally in the Brazilian currency. Argentina, well, they're holding on to their money because of fear of economic reasons over there. So bottom line, long story short, the U.S. continues to be the place to buy corn.
Brian Basting with Advanced Trading says it may take several weeks, as well as a significant chunk of this year's harvest to be completed, to truly gauge whether USDA's yield projections for corn and soybeans are on target or off base.
I think by this second week of October, we'll know a lot in terms of both corn and beans. If the weather permits, we'll accelerate the bean harvest, of course, as the end of October, and we'll accelerate corn harvest moving forward beyond that. Maybe not a concrete feel. I don't want to give that impression, but definitely a better field here than the third week in September.
Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
The partisan fight over President Trump's tariffs spilled onto the House floor last week during debate over temporary government funding. Democrats slammed the GOP majority for refusing to consider riders to end Trump's tariffs as part of the stopgap funding bill to keep the government open. House Ag Democrat Jim McGovern.
We are hearing day in and day out from farmers who are being crushed by Trump's erratic trade policies. They're losing markets abroad. Input prices are going up, and farm bankruptcies are up 95% this year compared to last.
California Republican Tom McClintock agreed with McGovern that the Constitution does give Congress ultimate tariff power, but defended the Speaker's deal to rein in executive authority to win votes of some GOP holdouts on government funding.
He promised that the next rule resolution would reduce the extension of this authority from 6 months to four, expiring on January 31st, rather than March 31st. The gentleman says that's not soon enough. Some of us would agree.
McClintock said the speaker did agree to form a GOP working group to develop a congressional policy on the use of tariffs.
Now, this is important because there are increasing signs of tariff-related damage to the economy. The gentleman is absolutely right on that point. And because the courts may be moving to restore the guardrails between the executive and legislative branches with respect to tariffs.
But most Republicans stood their ground behind the president, including Indiana's Aaron Houchin.
The tariffs imparted by President Trump are proving necessary to ensure fair trade, protect American workers, and reduce trade deficits by bringing other nations to the negotiating table.
Those nations include the EU, UK, and Japan, as they and others have made deals to win lower tariffs. But China, the biggest market for U.S. soybeans, is key, as the White House races to get a deal done before Congress or the courts close the door on that approach. By the way, the stopgap funding bill passed the House on Friday but was defeated by Senate Democrats. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Instability will be hanging around with us here through the start of the week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at that forecast update. We had some moisture try and come through as we went through the latter part of the weekend. We did clear out quite nicely in a large part of Indiana after the showers came through Saturday night into Sunday. But I think the key word here is going to be instability. That front over the weekend was one of about two or three that are going to be coming through as we are dealing with a pair of cutoff areas of low pressure. The first one has kind of dwindled somewhat. The front that came through over the weekend is what we call an occluded front. Those are ones that are actually dying. That's part of the reason why you didn't see a large change in air mass from before the front to after. We were still very warm and quite a bit more humid as we moved it through yesterday afternoon and even the first part of today. I think we see another round of moisture trying to come through as we move through the midday and afternoon hour. Could be even sooner than that in southern parts of Indiana. And we're watching another cutoff area of low pressure come together in the central and southern plains for the rest of the week. That's going to throw some moisture into here for Tuesday, although not as well organized Tuesday as probably what we're seeing today. And then we see a strong area of low pressure lift up through on Wednesday into Thursday. Potential for significant rains there. I still think we have possibility for anywhere from a half to 1.5, maybe 2 inches of rain combined as we move from now through Friday, with coverage ending up at 100% of the Hoosier State. Friday afternoon, we start to clear out, and we cool down a little bit too. Not a lot, just a little, as we move through the weekend with full sunshine in control. The sunshine continues to dominate then next week. We are Monday and Tuesday finishing out September with sunny and pleasant conditions. Minor front overnight Tuesday night, and so we're slightly cooler Wednesday the 1st on through the first few days of October. I'm not seeing a well-organized, big or larger scale front until we get well into the week of the 6th. So this moisture that we're seeing right now, a lot of you want it. And look, I'm with you, but it will be the last round for probably a week, week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks after we're done here. So that's the way things are stacking up. Temperatures staying well above normal all the way through. Even as we cool slightly around the 1st, we're not going to be near or below normal at all here as we move into early October. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
It was mostly a sell-off in the grains and oil seeds going into the weekend. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Performance Livestock Analytics, helping Indiana cattle producers run more efficient cattle operations with real-time data on feed, health, and performance, all in one easy-to-use app. Final numbers from Friday trade coming up. First, in the middle of the session, I checked in with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for his outlook on the markets. Markets back and forth on Friday to end the week. And Brian, it looked like a little bit of short covering going into the weekend, and we'd have a nice close to the week. It did not hold up, especially in beans, so a reversal at about the middle of the session. What happened?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I do think it was back and forth, and I think we're looking at one of our first big harvest weekends, as it were, potentially. Not everyone is going. I don't want to give that impression at all, but where the weather permits, I think we're going to see a decent harvest weekend across parts of the Midwest, so you may see some pre-harvest hedging here. ahead of the weekend there. I think that applies to both corn and beans. We're seeing some highly variable yield results. Some are disappointing, but some are record. Again, it's so early in the harvest yet. We're probably looking at somewhere around 10% done nationwide, maybe a bit more than that on both crops as we enter this last half of September. So we just got to be patient. But I think that the market is just taking a wait-and-see approach on yields. And a lack of a trade deal with China, I think, is still weighing, overhanging beans a bit. And we'll just see how that shakes out moving forward. But couldn't hold the gains early. And I think some of that was just some pre-harvest hedging on Friday.
The theme going into each and every session seems to be, or can be anyway, lack of news to move the markets higher. Is that primarily lack of a Chinese trade deal to announce?
I think that's got to be at the front burner at this point, Andy. We're looking at our largest importer of beans by far, and they've bought zero so far for 25, 26. So each day that passes, you wonder if China can make it through September, October, November with basically taking no U.S. beans. The size of the Brazilian crop that was completed earlier this year seems to be bigger than what USDA says at 169. CONAB came out at, I believe, a little over 171. This is, again, for the crop that was harvested earlier this year. But the fact being is it seems like China, for the moment, either has enough in their cupboard, if you will, the stocks that they built up, and the fact that they've continued to get their supplies from Brazil, they may not have to buy U.S. beans. So, and the other thing you know, too, is, again, during harvest, especially, sometimes a market needs to be fed bullish news to keep its footing, as it were, because you do have some harvest pressure every year as producers sell some crop for cash flow. So, yeah, I think those factors, the lack of a trade deal and the lack of any strong trend in yields is just kind of keeping a cap on things for now.
I'm not trying to pin you down on a specific date, but at what point might the harvest results start to, if they come in pretty negative compared to USDA expectations, at what point might they start to possibly turn the tide on the corn and bean futures movement?
I think by the second week of October, we'll know a lot. We'll know a lot in terms of both corn and beans. If the weather permits, we'll accelerate the bean harvest, of course, as you enter the October, and we'll accelerate corn harvest moving forward beyond that. So I think by the second week in October, we'll start to get a pretty good feel. Maybe not a concrete feel. I don't want to give that impression, but definitely a better feel here than the third week in September.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Brian is with Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The settlements from trade on Friday mixed and right around even in the corn market. Deese up a quarter cent at 424. March down a quarter, 441 and a quarter. Everything else fractionally lower. 12 cents lower. November beans, 1025 and a half. Jan contract, 1044 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. And a penny and three quarters off on December wheat, 522 and a half. The meats mostly higher. October live cattle, 233.57, up 120. October lean hogs, 97.97, up a half dollar. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.